If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Yeah. Scott Braun coming up in 40 minutes. Time, Foul Territory TV. The Gardo's doubleheader. It was like 1.66% of a doubleheader. Well, that's been called off for the day because of rain. So the game that was discontinued yesterday will be picked up tomorrow. And then the third game of this series will be played. And then the game that was supposed to be today will be scheduled down the line for later in the season. So do you buy, by the way, that it's a good thing that they get a couple days off?
I don't hate Fanta's mentality there. When you're on a four-game losing streak, maybe a couple days off is what the doctor ordered. And by the way, Minnesota had won 13 out of 14.
So I'd like it more from the disrupting what Minnesota was doing.
Yeah.
Four-game losing streak. It feels like a big thing when you're going through it. It really isn't in the pantheon of baseball. I still think the Gardos are playing good enough baseball. So, again, Scott Braun coming up in just about 40 minutes here. But Joe Bitonio was on with the Morning Boys today. And, one, I thought it was interesting him talking about, you know, the decision to come back, how I think he was just really dissatisfied with how that went. I wanted to pick your brain on that real quick before we get to the sound we're going to play of Joel. It sounded like to me, it wasn't necessarily just the team going 3-14 that was dispiriting. It was him playing poorly on a 3-14 team.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it as the season was going on. First half of the season was a Joe Bitonio we'd never seen.
Yeah.
Now, second half of the season, he picked it up and looked a lot better. And so maybe that's why he's back. He's like, wait a second. That wasn't me, and that's not what I can do, and I can be better. And maybe he started to get a little feel of that, and so then it was just off to the races.
I also think it was – so I
maybe that was an Andy Dickerson problem, too. And, I don't know.
Well, I think, okay, so that's where I'm going to go with it, because I think what Joel was saying to himself, unlike Miles, Miles is all about himself, and I don't want to say all about, but Miles is a lot about Miles. Joel's pretty much one of those teams. I mean, he's right out of the Joe Thomas cut a cloth, like, say the right thing, do the right thing, even if it doesn't look like the right thing, but you're standing for your team. I don't know anybody on this team got hurt going away from the wide zone run blocking scheme than Joel. Like, Wyatt is still at a point where he's young enough, athletic enough, versatile enough to, and Wyatt's had success in multiple schemes when he was in Buffalo before he was here. Jack Conklin has been in a bunch of different schemes. Like, a lot of the guys there are either young enough or versed enough. Joel's best football, I mean, bar none, has been in this wide zone scheme. And you add to it that he wasn't healthy at the beginning of last year. I don't know anybody on that offensive line is going to benefit more from going back to what you ran with Bill Callahan and previously with George Warhop before that. I don't think anybody is going to benefit more than Joel. I would not be surprised if he was really good on a 3-14 team.
I wouldn't be either. I remember months ago thinking that he was almost just like doing the Browns a solid, as if they'd come to him and been like, hey, listen, We have so many problems with this offensive line if you leave. Like, we already don't know what our left tackle situation is. Don't make us question our left guard situation.
Don't make us play Zach Zinter at left guard, because God help us, we will.
We three other pieces of that offensive line are all up for contract at the end of the season, so we're probably going to have to dip into the piggy bank there as well. And I'll continue to wonder if it was due in service to Stefanski, but that would have been done more if they'd taken a quarterback at number two overall and had been like, we have this rookie quarterback, we need someone to help usher him in a projected 5.5 win season according to Vegas. You didn't need Joe Bitonio necessarily, but the fact that he's coming back, clearly the Browns believe they can do something with this team.
So as we talk about this, as we've said, Joe Bitonio was on with the Morning Boys earlier today. Make sure to listen back to that full audio at about 6:53 tonight. You want to listen to the full interview on the Free Odyssey app. He also talked about establishing what was for the Cleveland Browns, kind of moving forward. So basically what was can be once again for the Cleveland Browns.
It's easy to put on paper, but we're trying to develop that as a group and an offense. Like I said, we want to be multiple. We want to marriage of the run and pass. We want to be physical. We want to play fast. You know, all these things that an efficient offense does, and just not hurt ourselves. I mean, it stinks because we've been very bad at it, but Kevin has always stressed, don't turn the ball over. And I think we want to do that this year. Like, we think we have the defensive players play great defense, and if we can control the ball on offense and take advantage of those big plays when we have them, like, we think we can get back some of that magic, you know, from 2023.
If a coach kept preaching, don't turn the ball over to me by this long,
yeah,
at some point I'd be like, you think?
I'd be like, yo, is that your plan?
I understand. Again, like, Kevin and the coaches have to keep it as simple as possible because they don't have the time with these players that maybe coaches did 20 years ago. So I fully understand that. At the same point, it's like, yeah, I think there's some merit to this idea. If you don't turn the ball over, you have a better chance of winning.
It'd be like one of our bosses here getting off the air and being like, you know what? I think you should make better points. It's like, oh, thanks. Thanks for the tip. That's great.
Have you considered having the best ratings in town? We did, and we do.
But, I want to see how you pivot off that. Yeah. Okay.
But, I think the one true ray of hope that I have with this Browns team is this. I believe that Stefanski is most confident in a power run scheme with a quarterback who doesn't turn the ball over, who also can't do a lot beyond that, but in an offense where basically you fall back on a dominant run game where you're trying to take as much of the clock up as you can and you have a good defense to fall back on. And I don't think that part of the plan is beyond the pale. Like, I think there is an element of, like, do I... Because a lot of these guys were here in 2021 or here in 2023. So do I think that that is achievable? Yes. How far that takes you is debatable. But, like, hey, get back to basics. Get back to who we were 2 years ago or 4 years ago. I think that's totally attainable.
Well, and so I always think about, like, Stefanski when you talked about him with the time in Minnesota, right? Any person you talk to that covered him in Minnesota, the first thing they talk about is his run game. It's the first thing they want to tell you about it and how much of an identity that was for him. And obviously they had Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook went for like 1,300 yards that season. They had some good passing too, but they had a really strong run game. And then he got, you know, I'm not going to say gifted, but you got Nick Chubb. And so to go from Dalvin Cook to Nick Chubb, he's always had a strong run game and it's always been prevalent. And so it's got to be prevalent once again.
So I think what's interesting is, I mean, they had Chubb and Hunt here at the same time. Team Chunt, as they were known.
Yeah.
I kind of think, like, that's what I'm expecting. Like, I'm expecting 30 rushes a game. I mean,
it's going to be heavy. What's interesting, so I looked into this, and I'm not a fantasy football guy at all, but I just wanted to see, because at this point, the only people putting out projections are the fantasy football world. And Judkins we can get to in a second, but the Samson projections was only like 250 yards on the season. Like, the fantasy world doesn't have much belief the same way that I think we believe that it is going to be a heavier run game.
Yeah, I mean, what were your rushing attempts in 2020? Were 495 attempts. That was fourth best. Only Baltimore, the Titans, and Patriots ran the ball more.
Yeah, it tracks.
That's where I expect. And here's the thing: like, one, the other thing I don't love about it is we are back. The NFL ebbs and flows between the passing game and the running game.
For sure, it does.
And it's always going to skew more towards passing in the modern era. But we're right at the beginning of the push back to running. And so I think more teams are going to be doing this. That's the only thing that's one of the things that does scare me. Like, I see total value in you can never quarterback proof this thing, but as best as we can quarterback proof it. Have a quarterback in there that doesn't turn the ball over. That's probably why it skews more towards Pickett than it does.
I was going to say,
Flacco,
none of this describes
point.
Flacco at all, by the way.
And honestly, it might better explain the rookie quarterbacks than it does Joe Flacco. But so get a quarterback in there who might not be exceptionally talented in terms of versus like Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers or the elite Josh Allen, but they won't muck it up. We're going to run the hell out of the football and then fall back on that defense. Like, I see so much value in that. And it might just make you a 6 or 7 win team. The problem is, I really do think the rest of the NFL saw what happened with the Eagles, and they're not going to see Jalen Hurts' value. They're not going to see A.J. Brown. They're not going to see Devontae Smith. They're going to go, look what they did with Saquon, and look what Baltimore did with Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
I think this is the year where we get where I think teams go too heavy into the run, and that just makes the Browns one of a bunch of teams that run the ball.
I see what you're saying, but I also think that the AFC is just so loaded with quarterbacks that I don't know that we're going to have this big-time shift in philosophy. Like, I think for the other teams, the teams that don't have Allen, don't have Burrow, don't have Lamar, don't have Herbert, don't have... we can keep going. I can talk for 9-10 names. That might have to be their philosophy. It's the only way you get past them. But I still think there's so many good quarterbacks, especially in the AFC. I don't know that we'll see it as large of a shift.
I think you're even going to see it with Kansas City. I mean, granted, Pacheco's got to be healthy, but between Pacheco and Hunt, I still think they should make a run at Nick Chubb, because I think I'd rather have Nick Chubb than Kareem at this point, even though Kareem is more well-rounded as a back. I think you're even going to see Kansas City run the ball more.
We'll see. What's fascinating is that nobody's had more throws to a tight end in the previous 3 years, and it's by about twice as much as Kansas City. And I wonder if they start leaning off of Travis Kelce the older and older he gets and start going in a different direction. How they redo that offense, though, is going to be fascinating. And I like Pacheco, but are you just going to give Pacheco the ball a ton? Pacheco and Chubb?
Like, they sure as hell didn't. By the way, just for what you just said there, they sure as hell didn't remake the room. So it should be noted, we said, what, 554 for total rushing attempts for the Browns in 2020?
You said top 95. Yeah, you said top four is what, okay, I remember.
Top four. So you know who had the most rushing attempts last year in the NFL?
I'm going to guess Baltimore.
I know, it's Philly. You know how many they have? 621.
Yeah, I mean, there was a reason why Saquon didn't even play the final game of the season, and he had a chance to go to break the all-time rushing yards record, but it's like, we need you to be healthy.
Well, and it wasn't even just Saquon. Remember, like, Jalen Hurts, a fair amount of his value is the fact,
sure,
that... So, but I think that is the fact that he can run the ball, and he was their running game until was the bulk of their running game. I just think what's again, I said 495, and that was good for fourth. 495 this last year would be, sorry, words are hard, would still be top 10, but it would be ninth in the NFL.
Now, is that, I guess...
And that's year we have to couple of the pushback to rushing.
I know. I think we do have to couple that in with the idea, and as you pointed out with Jalen Hurts, how much that adds. I think, I mean, more quarterbacks are running than ever. So you have more guys, like Josh Allen, for instance. Josh, I imagine Buffalo's in that list as well?
Yes, Buffalo is.
I would think so, because Josh Allen gets a lot of carries, you know? And James Cook obviously had a lot of carries. I think that model is really... Like, if you're dreaming up a world... And starting a team from scratch, that's the one that you'd want to do, right? The one where you have a running quarterback, and then you'd also have a really solid back and back of that.
So I do think this is going... I think this is the right move. It's the obvious move for where you are. But the problem is, all the good teams are also doing this.
Yeah.
Like Eagles, Baltimore, Lions, that's the top three rushing attempts in the NFL last year. Washington,
and Detroit,
top five.
Detroit had a split back system, but that was, and so they just kept feeding the ball.
But Green Bay, top six. Buffalo, who you mentioned. I mean, almost every team in the top 10 was a playoff team or just outside the top 10. Eight of the top 10 teams last year, eight of the top 10 teams last year were playoff teams. So again, it's like, okay, so you're now doing the thing that everybody's doing, but you might not have the offensive talent that they have. It just puts a lot of pressure on the offensive line, I think, is maybe the big point.
No, and I get what we're trying to do here. We're trying to find a way that they can even zig when everyone else is zagging, right? And if you're not going to have the big arm, big name quarterback, you got to find some other wrinkle to be great at, and something else that you can at least attempt to be great at.
But what's crazy about this is a lot of those teams you mentioned do have that quarterback.
I know.
And so
this is why the NFL is hard.
We're...
This is why this is becoming possible.
We're zagging when everyone else is zagging, and the quarterbacks they're zagging with
are much better.
A little bit more proven than the ones you're zagging with. 216-474-0092. So there's a different way to put this.
This was supposed to be, by the way, the Di Podesta difference. And I didn't mean to be alliterative there, but that's supposed to be it's supposed to be the difference. Is he supposed to find the little wrinkles in the game, kind of like what he did with Moneyball, where you can find the advantages? And in 9 years, we haven't found the advantages.
All right, guys, let's throw more. Have we thought about that?
That was the Flacco plan.
How much success can the Browns have going back? Like, let me ask you, if you are, maybe you're a little low on Browns hope right now, but you hear they're going back to the principles and the way they played 2 years ago, 4 years ago, 5 years ago. Does that give you hope that the Browns are going to be better? Maybe a little bit more hope than if they just said, we're going to keep doing what we did in 2024. And there's a different way of looking at Kenny Pickett. I don't know any of us are going to like it. It might be how they view Kenny Pickett. That's in 5 minutes on 92.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
2-3 The Fan. I mean, this is a big win. We needed this one.
So I can hear the sarcasm in your voice. I got it. I'll probably still watch.
I'll watch it. This is going to be like when America started sending NBA players to face like EuroLeague players, when EuroLeague players were still playing in gyms that wouldn't classify as like high school gyms in America.
Before they started sending us Doncic and Jokic and all the good players.
Yeah, before we raised boats, as it were. I desperately want to see the American team play against like China.
I mean, I'm here for like a 72-0 whooping.
No, it's going to be, to me, this is going to be like when we watched breakdancing this last Olympics, and you're like,
Australia, Team Australia. Yeah. She broke the internet.
What was her name?
I had no chance. I remember her name. Yeah, I hope she's retired.
It was like Flim Biscuit or something like that. It was a ridiculous name.
It was the biggest boondoggle I've ever seen.
It was a grift. That's what that was. But then my point is, like, people are like watching it like, oh, it's just so great. The breakdance, like, no, it's not. And that this is going to be that for a different reason. This is going to be America beats the living you-know-what out of Azerbaijan in flag football. And this, you know what? You know what this is going to be? This is going to be what people think today's NBA players dropping them in 1960 would be, where it is pro athletes versus plumbers and bankers. It's going to be
very one-sided.
Like, this isn't like curling, where like Jared Allen just took up curling and is like, I guess I'm a curler now, well, guys.
And the other part about this that I find interesting is that so many of these kids that grow up in like Texas and that part of the country that does a lot of 7-on-7 football, they're just going to dominate this type of stuff because it's basically flag football in a way.
Yeah, I tweeted this in jest, but it's 100% true. This is all going to be fun and games till Lamar tears his ACL in 2028.
Oh, you think Lamar's our starting quarterback?
Lamar, Mahomes.
I think it's Mahomes.
Tyreek Hill, although you've got to...
Tyreek's too old at the point.
He's still going to be fast as hell.
Do we only send like 30-plus old wide receivers?
I honestly think you should only send retired play. Put Michael Vick as quarterback. Norfolk head coach, Michael Vick. Just put him there. They'd still dominate.
They'd
still beat him 45-0.
It's going to feel like such a fraudulent gold medal.
It is.
I'll watch, but I won't be like, oh, congrats, Mahomes, on your gold medal. The same way that we looked at like the Dream Team in 92 or even this past team that did everything for the NBA with the Olympics.
216-474-0092. I hate to be the guy that's poo-pooing something. Because like...
It's still fun.
Well, but I just think it's the idea of like, who's your competition here? Like, who's the big heavy? Is it England? Is England...
I don't know.
A lot of big blokes there.
Wouldn't even begin to know where to tell you with the. Who was the quarterback? You're not going to remember his name because who would? That was initially like the flag football quarterback last year that like yelled and complained all about it. It was a whole controversy at the time because he thought all the big NFL players were just going to swoop in and basically steal his moment of being like the best flag football quarterback to exist.
And they're correct.
And they're right. And it's like that's what you get. Yes, when the NFL players decide they care about winning a gold medal and they think it's cool to represent the country, then guess what? You no longer get to be the flag football quarterback.
All right, I hate to be this guy.
Yeah.
All right, I hate to be.
Go ahead.
If this was actually tough, NFL players would want to do it. If this was a level of competition that was like primo, like akin to the NFL level, I don't think anybody in the NFL would actually want to do this.
I mean, Tyreek Hill is going to be getting cardio out there.
You're just going to go out there and you're just going to steal money, but you're going to like, this is not going to be great.
Okay, but you're going to have...
like the level of competition is why you're doing this.
I get it, but where's the loss then, right? First off, if it's going to basically be getting cardio out there and breaking the slightest bit of sweat to beat Japan, you get to participate in all of the different ceremonies ahead of time, which they all love that nonsense. That's LeBron on a boat acting as if he's reenacting the Titanic, waving an American flag while doing it and loving every minute of it. So you get to be on that little, you do all the ceremonies, you get all the swag that accompanies with it, you get the gold medal and everything. Like, it's going to be, NFL players are going to be lining up to do this.
Yeah, because it would be like me dominating third graders in basketball.
Like, yeah, and at the end you get a gold medal. Isn't that sweet?
If you put me in the half court, don't make me run full court because it'd kill me.
Even the half court's a lot.
You put me in I don't have to move. I just have to avoid the 3-second penalty.
You have to move from the half court.
Yeah, I have to move from this 3-foot spot to outside of the little semicircle there, get the ball, turn around, put it up. I just have to make a shot. So I have to turn and make a shot.
You're going
to
get exhausted at some point.
Yeah, but I'll still have 50 points and nobody else is coming near me.
And if somebody told you you could do that for a gold medal and you get all the swag and the commemorative ceremonies and everything,
I'd feel like
you'd sign up in a second. You'd be like, this is great.
I'd feel like a grifter because in the end, I'm still just dominating Olympic child's basketball player Nick Wilson.
This is the type of stuff that goes in your obituary, though. You win a gold medal. This is like, it is not to the level of winning the Super Bowl for these players, obviously, but it's like Super Bowl gold medal. Then the amount of Pro Bowls that they win,
No, it's not for flag football. The Pro Bowls, the $300 million, that's going to go before flag football.
They don't put your net worth in your obituary.
Maybe some of these dudes are going to live another 50 years. Maybe 50, they should, though.
Is that how we change the game?
Think about,
what a power move that is.
People would just feel really bad for me.
They'd I feel like Bezos would put
negative net worth, huh?
Bezos, Musk, one of those guys who put their net worth in there.
They absolutely
What a life shame that would be if when you died as like a... Just a way to shame people. They put your bank account info and all the money that you didn't
have
in there.
It's either the money in your bank account, your net worth.
He died with 72 cents.
Your credit score. One of those three have to be included.
Although if I saw that somebody died with like 72 cents in their bank account, I would be like, that's impressive. You gave it all away before you died.
Oh, I'd want it at like
you
zero.
You did it all.
I'd want a zero balance. I want Brewster Millions that bad
Would we applaud the people that are in negative debt the most?
Yeah.
Be like, you good luck getting that one, credit card company.
Especially if you don't have kids. If you're just like, I lived a lavish life. I was Robin Leach, right? Living in the lap of luxury, and I've got millions of dollars in debt. Oh, by the way, I'm gone. Peace. I mean, that's the way to go, right?
Well, I think the way to go would be like Bezos with just billions upon billions, and then let people sort it out.
With me.
Let people sort it out from there. But
screwing the big corporations over at their expense, living on their dime, and then peacing out before they could come after me.
I could see us celebrating the obituaries in a big way if that was the case.
But so 2028 Olympics will be the first Olympics where we have flag football. So we don't even know who the real contenders here are.
Is this going to end up looking lame? I said I'd watch it, but is it going to end up looking like the Pro Bowl? Is that what it's going to be? We're gonna just know you because you can't touch each other. That's obvious. You only get to rip the flag off.
Yeah.
That inherently is not very fun. But it's still Patrick Mahomes.
So I don't know how big the field's going to be. I'm meaning like how the playing surface. Are they playing on grass or are they playing on turf? Like there's a lot of things that... Like if you're playing on like a 50-yard field, it's going to and it's like not as wide as an NFL field, it's going to be embarrassing.
Okay.
Like you need a shorter and shorter field and you need a slimmer field. Because otherwise NFL players are just gonna run past people.
A standard flag football field, according to Google, is 64 yards long, 25 yards wide.
I need it to be about 20 yards wide. You got to give those countries a lot of lateral quickness a chance here.
But I do kind of love the idea that you can have like
somebody think of like Taiwan here. All right,
imagine punting in flag football. This is going to be like when you play Madden and just no one ever wants to punt. That's what this is going to be. Because if I have Mahomes, I can make a touchdown at any given play.
This is going to be like when my nephew hit 12 and I played him once in Madden and he beat me 90-0 and I thought, all right, the Madden game has passed me by. I'm not who I was 20 years ago.
Is the punter the one holdover from the actual flag football team?
I actually don't think there should be punting in this.
I hope there's not. I hope there's not.
I think it should just be like a game of 21. Your quarterback just sits on it and just throws it as hard as they can. If you can throw it 64 yards out of the end zone, you start at the 5-yard line or something like that.
Well, even if they never use him, at least they can go ahead and say, hey, we kept somebody from the team originally on there.
No, I don't like that. Replace all those scrubs.
Imagine doing like tricks and turning it into basically.
That's a different. That tricks do happen tricks, at the
especially
the Olympics.
At the Olympics. That's why they always make sure they have all sorts of different bed
that's
setups.
True.
The swiping game as well. Mac, you should sign up for flag football. And just
show me your tricks, big boy.
Meet someone at the Olympics.
He's
I think that's good.
He's got a curler's build there. I think he could.
Oh, yeah?
Again with the shots. Okay.
No! Mac, I don't think I have an Olympic build at all. There's no sport that I could dominate.
Oh, boy. Mac has become aware of the shots that are happening now. First a little stretch there, Mac was always like, no, these aren't happening. And now Mac turns it into again with
the shots. I just said you have an Olympic build of some sort.
He said again with the shots.
And that's a shot?
Again with the shots.
Where's the shot? Explain the shot to me. I don't see a shot.
The shot was taken.
You have an Olympic body?
Immediately going to curling? Okay.
Again with the
shots.
Oh,
I'm sorry. You're right. You're right. You're Michael Phelps. Yeah, you're Michael Phelps. Yeah, I forgot that. Yeah, no, you can swim faster than everybody there, Aquaman. Now, you know what? You've got an Olympic basketball build. Yeah. Yeah, you're about 6 foot.
Oh, he's awfully quiet
about
now.
5 foot 11 now? Yeah. I forgot. You're the missing piece of the Olympic team last year. Boot Jason Tatum's ass off that, too, because Mac Robinson belongs on that team.
I also would have kept that bench warm.
Yeah. No, that's a good shot. That was a good shot at Jason Tatum. We like shots at Jason Tatum. You say a man's got an Olympic build, and all of a sudden it's a problem. It's a shot.
Yeah, you didn't call him a magician. I mean, jeez. Yeah.
That was mean. This was just, you could do curling.
Again with the shot.
216-474-0092.
Hey, we're having fun.
flag football, the Summer Olympics. Players, one player from each team can participate. You like this? Do we like it? Do we not like it? Scott Braun, Foul Territory TV, coming up in 5 minutes. Talking Gardo's baseball on 92.3 The Fan.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Nice. Look out for Team France. Look out for Team Russia. It's got a lot of big, bulky dudes that like to hit out there. You can't hit in football, but it's Russia. They'll skirt the lines.
They'll find a way to do it.
They'll find a way. And, you know, my personal favorite? Brazil.
Because they're fast?
I hadn't thought that far. I just thought, like, Brazil, it makes sense to me in my head.
How hard could it be, right? Just catch the ball. You'll be fine.
That's true. Just run real fast, catch the ball. Yeah. I mean, football, really, in general. Gardo's doubleheader today canceled out. There's a doubleheader tomorrow. One of the 3 games from this series will be made up at a later date. But they sit at 25-21. They're actually now in fourth place in the AL Central, which is wild that we would ever have a AL Central team that is 5 games above 500. Sorry, 4 games above 500 and in fourth place. But it's an all-new Central to talk all things Gardo's baseball, the season so far, what maybe he expected, what he didn't expect. A lot of things here. We head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline and talk to Scott Braun of Foul Territory TV. Scott, welcome to the show.
What's up, Nick and Jonathan? All we have to do is place the Guardians in that crappy AL East, and they would be really close to the first-place Yankees ahead of everyone else, right?
We've been saying it for a while that the AL East is really bringing down baseball, and they should just contract it. We've been saying that for at least a year and a half now.
Hey, well, you've got a team in a minor league ballpark. You've got, I would say, the collapse of the year so far in the Baltimore Orioles. So there's some cases to be made for some sludge there in the AL East. That should be the big flex in the Midwest, is the AL Central looks much better than the AL East right now.
So we weren't going to start with the managers getting fired, but Derek Shelton, former Indian hitting coach, he gets fired after, I think, 6 years in Pittsburgh. Bud Black, after 9 just absolute craptastic years in Colorado, gets murked. And now Brendan Hyde in Baltimore. I guess this is a two-parter. I know journalists say you shouldn't do this, but it's a two-parter. One, do you think firing the manager works? Or are each one of these guys fall guys? And two, in which one of these scenarios do you think firing the manager might actually work?
Oof. Maybe the Rockies will win 38 games instead of 32. Do I think it works most of the time? No. I think the popular example is to go back to the Phillies World Series appearance in 2022. Joe Girardi starting out, very different type of manager in Rob Thompson taking over. I think they did it early enough in the season for it to make sense, plus a very talented team. In the cases that we're talking about, the Rockies might end up as the worst team in baseball history. Not much you can change there, but I actually agree with that one the most, guys, because Bud Black's been there for almost a decade. The Rockies have a serious problem from the ownership side of not going external for anything, and so it's just the same thing over and over. Obviously, they don't have the same resources, and it's not even the payroll side of things. Like, if you look at what Cleveland brings to player prep, technology, et cetera, Colorado ownership group just doesn't believe in that stuff. So they're in the Stone Age living on their own planet. But I was okay with that one. Just Bud's been there for a long time. He's a super nice guy. They need to start doing something differently and hopefully in the offseason getting someone from outside of the organization to take over. For the other two, straight up fall guys for me. I mean, on the Pirate side of things, you have an owner who doesn't participate ever in free agency. He would even look at this Carlos Santana contract from the offseason and be like, we would never do something like that. They haven't done a multi-year deal since Ivan Nova in 2016, and that was 2 years. Biggest contract in free agent history, I think, for the Pirates is Russell Martin, 2 years, 17. Like, they don't believe in it, so that's its own mess. I think Derek Shelton's a good manager. I think him and Hyde both will eventually be managers again and be more successful with their second run. Lastly, with the Orioles, same thing. Brandon Hyde, manager of the year 2 years ago, brought the team from the tanking world back to playoff contention. He's the man. He's great. But all of a sudden, he's not when Mike Elias completely left alone the starting pitching at the top problem that the Orioles would have, and they're in the thick of their winning window, and he just did a really poor job. That's not a money thing. They upped their payroll by $66 million. He just made the wrong moves, and on my show, Foul Territory, we were smashing them and getting a lot of pushback from the Orioles fans, and now they're 15-31. So hopefully that answers your question, which means none of these teams are going to be good this year. They're all crap. They're all sellers.
Scott, you brought up Santana. He's slugging in the 300s right now. That's your three-hole hitter right there in some days. It's mainly J-Ram, but Santana's always at the top of the lineup. And he's got one of the worst slugging percentages in all of baseball. I don't want to put it all on Santana. That's not fair. But it does speak to a problem offensively that it feels like the Guardians have. Do you see it that way as well? What's your outlook on this Guardians team and how they can at least – I mean, they're winning games at least, Scott.
Yeah, they are, because some other guys like Sheeman obviously are playing out of their minds right now. Carlos Santana is 39 years old. So when I'm trying to predict free agent signings, and guys, I'm going to toot my horn on this one too. I was very anti-Naylor essentially out and Carlos Santana coming in. And for me, Slade Ciccone, sure, maybe he becomes something. The Guardians are really good at finding diamond in the rough kind of guys, but I don't think it was worth it. I think Naylor fits so well there. Let him play one more season and go into free agency. You don't think you're going to sign him? Okay, no problem. But, I mean, Naylor looks significantly better, obviously. I just play the age game. The two signings I hated the most were Carlos Santana and Charlie Morton. What's the theme? They're just getting up there, and usually at some point the wall hits, and it hits really hard, and like they shouldn't be in the league anymore. So I haven't seen enough consistent at-bats to be able to make a clear-cut case, nor am I going to act like I'm a hitting coach. But it just wasn't the right move. I think, guys, if you look at where the Guardians are at, and I told you, McKenzie's out and Tanner Bibee's off to a bad start and the bullpen doesn't look as fire as it did last year, although still very good, you'd be like, okay, I'll take where we're at right now. So I think that's how Guardians fans should look at this ball club. I don't think anybody in the beginning of last season was like, yep, this team is going to be fighting the Yankees for a World Series appearance. So I actually think they're in somewhat of a similar spot. You have some underperformers and you have some guys that you didn't expect to be this good right now.
So I guess just 46 games in for them. I think most other teams have played about 50 games, but Cleveland weather will steal a fruit from you early in the season. This is what's your takeaway on where the Guardians are and their ability to get in the fray here over the next month or so, or stay in the fray, what have you?
Yeah, I think they're going to stay in the fray. I mean, I think that a lot of things went well for them last year and put them in that spot. Kwan looks like Kwan for the most part from what I've seen. Jose Ramirez looks like himself. Naylor looks like he's developing a little bit. Same with Manzardo. So there's a lot of good pieces. They've done a really nice job of developing from within, both pitching and position players now. Here's the biggest problem, guys, in my mind. The AL Central is really good. The Tigers might be the best team in the American League. For me right now, they are. I think they're the most complete team in the American League. So they're 31-17. Then you go down the line here. The team that I'm surprised about is how quickly the Twins were able to turn it around and go on this ridiculous win streak. I don't think they're as good as the Tigers, the Royals, and even the Guardians. So I had this ranked Tigers, Royals, Guardians close, and then Twins. If the Twins are playing like this, you really have four legit playoff contenders in this division, which you had for most of last year. It's just that the Twins and the Tigers flip-flop towards the end of the season. So I think the Guardians are going to hover in this range. They'll probably do a light buy at the trade deadline, and you'll see if you catch some fire. I mean, the one thing that bothers me, and I'm sure it bothers many Guardians fans, is you want to see them spend a little bit more, and it's not a sexy team. Like, I don't know. I want to follow some bigger storyline of whether it's a free agent signing or a loud personality. It's, you know, Jose Ramirez is as consistent as they come. He's a Hall of Fame player. He's a quiet leader. You know, for me, I need a little more spice in my life. I get to cover the game nationally, so I don't have to deal with that way. I don't know how you guys feel, but you can't complain about them. They're in a good spot. Look how far they made it last year. What's the sentiment publicly there?
No, you got the right read on it. There's not many people complaining in any sort of way. I think there's a lot of people that we're giving Stephen Vogt a lot of credit, obviously, and you can only give the manager so much credit. But for some reason, even when you see the offense isn't as good as you thought, the pitching has been it's had more downs than ups. The bullpen was legendary last year, one of the best all time, and this year it's taken a little bit of a step back. But for some reason, Scott, they just continue to win games.
They do, and I give the front office credit too. Yeah, voters doing an awesome job, but you've got a consistent front office in there that has a system down and it's worked for them. You can call it a little bit of the Rays of the Midwest, but I mean, the Guardians have been able to consistently outperform whatever you want to call it, expectations, even win projection models, right? If you want to get more granular and analytic with how the game is looked at these days, I mean, the Guardians consistently will outperform expectations. To me, that means it's not just the front office doing the right things, making the right finds, aside from Carlos Santana, but it's how they're developing guys, and they've got a pitching machine. You know, to use the big market example right now, to me, the biggest difference with the Mets now and last year from 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago is the pitching machine that they have. They took David Stearns, just said, hey, let's bring this to a big market team. Just like Andrew Friedman said, let me bring what I'm doing to a big market franchise in the Dodgers. So you get to play with the big toys and get the big free agent or trade for big money players, but then you also still find diamonds in the rough for your bullpen, which makes a big difference and helps carry you in October. That's why I think some of those clubs have taken the next step. For the Dodgers now, it's been a decade, but I see that going on with the Mets. I think the Guardians have the same thing. And if you put, you know, Chernoff and Antonetti in a big market, they'd probably have a World Series title or two.
Scott, great stuff, man. Really appreciate you. Keep doing what you're doing for baseball. Love the show.
Thank you, Nick and Jonathan. Great talking to you.
Thank you so much. Scott.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.